Welcome to Coffee and Jesus. It is July 8th, 2020. I'm Jael, your host, coming to you from Texas. It's about 11 o'clock at night. I'm not even remotely sleepy, so tomorrow should be really interesting. It just means lots of coffee, y'all, and y'all know I love that. So today I want to talk to you about what it means to be a new believer and how we should be careful in what we post as seasoned believers. So I'm going to start off by saying there was a post today, and you know, when I read it, I just thought, ooh, I got that cringe. You know how sometimes you see things and you cringe because you're like, oh, that didn't come across quite right? And so that's what happened today. So I just want to share with you what was said and how I responded. And then I want to talk to you about what it really means to be a believer. So a friend of mine posted that the gospel is not something that you ever move on from. It's central to who we are and everything we do, which is, of course, true. But then they went on to say, if you really aren't truly familiar with the gospel, you might not truly be a Christian. Now, the reason why I cringed is because a new believer who doesn't fully understand everything about the gospel still is a Christian because they've asked the Lord into their heart. And so I went on to say, you know, I was a mom before I understood motherhood. The disciples were being trained by Jesus before they truly understood how to disciple. And as a minister, I'm being transparent. I'm always learning something new. I don't know everything. You know, the gospel reveals itself to me, the Bible, constantly. The message of the gospel never changes. And of course, I understand that. But I didn't understand it, like, immediately. And, you know, I'm never going to fully know and understand everything about God and the Bible because I'm really not supposed to. I'm just supposed to have faith. And that's the beauty of growing and developing as a brother or sister in Christ. So what is a new believer? What does that mean? When you accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior, oh my goodness, you are born again and you are now eligible to enter in heaven and live with Him eternally. There are things you can do to mess that up. But right now, we're just going to focus on what new things you should know as a believer, because it's just kind of like on a new job. You need a manual because you don't really understand all of the lingo, all of the verbiage, what people are talking about around you. So lesson one, let's talk about sin. Man's greatest problem is sin. In Romans 3:23, it says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says all people are sinners and sin separates us from God. The end result of sin is death, a spiritual death, a separation from God, and we see that in the words of Romans 6:23. The Bible goes on to tell us that God loves us and has provided forgiveness for our sins in 1 John 4:9 through 10. God loved us so much that He provided a way for our sins to be forgiven. The answer to your sin problem is Jesus. Salvation is found in Jesus, and there is no other way to heaven. And you can read Acts 4:12 and John 14:6. You must accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Romans 10:9 declares, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Your past sins are forgiven. And there will be sins that you commit after you accept Christ. However, you repent and you have a daily prayer of what you've done that day. And, you know, ask the Lord, the Holy Spirit, what do I need to work on? What is it that you're trying to teach me in the Bible? What do you need me to know? What do you need me to do? And so it's an ongoing process unpacking the gospel. Lesson two, we need to learn how to live a new life, a holy, righteous life. So now you've experienced a spiritual rebirth. The Bible teaches us that man is body, soul, and spirit. And when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, the change is a spiritual one. You don't have a physical change, but you do have a spiritual change. After your new spiritual birth, your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, must be supernaturally changed as you live out this new life. And you begin to try to exercise authority and rule over your desires for drugs, alcohol, pornography, your emotions such as anger, unforgiveness, bitterness, and so on. And it takes time. It's not always an instant thing. You know, it's a process. You have to work on it. You must be spirit-led, and you must let the Holy Spirit rule. When your old nature rises up and you sin, it doesn't mean that you're no longer saved. You do not need to accept Jesus as your Savior again. You simply need to ask God to forgive you and to give you strength to overcome future temptations. Now, like I said earlier, there are ways that when you backslide and you just completely renounce God that you would have to recommit, but that's not what we're talking about today. Repetition of sinful behavior leads to more of the same. And so when that happens and you're now enslaved, imprisoned in habitual sin and you have a stronghold, then you've got a real issue. And this is why you don't want to deliberately sin, which means to do it on purpose. Let's talk about the difference between conviction and condemnation. Condemnation says that you're a bad person and you are never going to change. And it's meant to discourage you, and those thoughts and lies are from the enemy. Conviction comes from the Holy Spirit to correct you. For example, you feel convicted because you told a lie. This is the Holy Spirit working in your life so that you can become more holy, more righteous. So how do you grow in your faith? Well, like I said earlier, the gospel of Jesus never changes. You can study the word. And I know at the beginning, it's really difficult to understand the Bible. Thank God now that there are so many different translations of the Bible. I just want to caution you, though, that I would always start with the original King James or New King James Version, and then look at more of the paraphrased translations for current, contemporary, modern understanding. But it's always good to go back to the original and get into the Greek and Latin and Hebrew roots of words to truly understand the Word of God. And of course, you can always ask the Holy Spirit to reveal things to you. It's important for you to attend a local Bible-believing church that teaches the Word of God and is just not a, a show with lots of lights and glitter and glam and no real substance, to where you don't feel the Spirit, where you don't have any supernatural encounters. It's important for you to have fellowship and be around other believers, but not to isolate yourself. Because Jesus never isolated himself except for when he was praying. He was always amongst people who knew nothing about God, who knew nothing about him, who were doing not so nice things. He did not shun those people. He embraced those people and he brought the gospel to them. Try to live peaceably with everyone. I encourage you to read the Beatitudes in Matthew. I encourage you to read how to grow in your faith and exhibit the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5. I encourage you to read Proverbs for the answers to everyday problems such as issues with parenting, marriage, self-control, eating, just finances, just every practical situation that you can think of. So, you know, it just hurt me a little bit that this person said that if you're not truly familiar with the gospel, then you must not truly be a Christian. I have to disagree with that. We're all on a learning journey. And yes, the gospel never changes, but that's something that you grow into and you take ownership of, and you begin to realize that you have the authority to do certain things with through the power of the Holy Spirit. You begin to learn about your spiritual gifts and God's plan and purpose for your life. And the Word of God becomes illuminated to where you can understand it in the secret place. I also want to encourage you to have a quiet time of prayer every day, whether you call it meditation or devotionals or Bible study, where you read the Word of God, allow Him to minister to you, allow Him to speak to you when you're praying, and that your prayers are just not a wish list, a Christmas list, but that you actually edify and worship the Lord, that you thank Him for who He is, for everything He's done, and not just always ask for things. Make sure that you're quiet, that you're listening to what He wants to tell you. Put on some praise and worship music and just praise the Lord because He is worthy to be praised. So, you know, I wasn't offended by that post today. I just thought if I'm a new believer, I might question the fact of whether I'm saved or not by what this person posted. And so, you know, I just wanted to address that we need to be careful and realize that our audience is not always believers. They might be new believers. They might be atheists. They might be agnostics. They might be Muslims. And how do we want to say things to draw them to the love and the compassion and the mercy and the favor and the grace of Jesus? I hope you understand what I'm saying. I love you guys so much, and Jesus loves you even more than I do. Be blessed.